Yeah. Little Double D. Duran Duran. This is what Jeff requested this, Dan? Okay. Yeah, there we go. Jeff, he requested Duran Duran, so we have a twofer of Duran Duran. That's the reflex. All right. Hey, how you doing? It's Vic DiGilio here on 720. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head in another battle of pop-up video. Skip Skipley will come out of retirement, Esmeralda.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, what an honor.
I'm so excited. So that'll be coming up a little bit later. So Dave Ennett and his magical psychic cats will have to...
They're magical now?
Oh, yeah. They've got all kinds of superpowers. And Dave has power over them.
Someone give him a TV show.
I'm telling you. Dan, let's call up the people at Marvel. You got connections.
Would it be Marvel, though? I mean, I think that's major network territory we're talking here.
Yeah.
I mean, don't think small when it comes to Dave Ennett.
That's true. Dave Ennett and his psychic cats.
I mean, they could take over the world in theory, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because is it every cat or just his grouping of cats?
At this point, I think he has control over every cat, but there is a special army. There's a special feline army that travels with Dave everywhere he goes.
So everybody who's listening right now with cats at their home, they could do whatever Dave Ennett tells them.
That's right.
But when Esmeralda's singing, there's a certain squadron that's just at the ready.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I would think, because if you try to get all the cats, you know, some won't make it until like a week later. And then they're just hanging out.
That's right. Absolutely right. All right. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens a little bit later on when Esmeralda sings, and we'll see what happens to the entire feline population. So that's a little bit later. Now, Esmeralda and Dan, let me ask you this. When you were a kid, what did your mom or anybody, an older person, say would happen when you swallowed your gum? Dan?
That it would get stuck in my stomach and, like, stay there for 8 years.
Right. Esmeralda, what about you?
Well, I don't think it was parents that told me this. Mm-hmm. I think this was just the schoolyard rumor that, yeah, it would be stuck in there for years and years if you swallowed it.
I guess everybody heard that, because I heard, like, if you swallow your gum, it'll take 12 years to digest. There's something ridiculous along those lines. Something like that. But what really happens when you swallow your gum? Gum is a funny thing. We chew it like food. And with added sugars and flavoring, it tastes like food. But it isn't food. It's never been food. It's not even candy. Since candy gets swallowed, it's just gum. The first gums were made of stretchy and sticky natural tars. Then we moved on to tree sap, like that of the rubber tree. And today, most gums are made of synthetic rubber. But all these ingredients, natural and synthetic, have something in common. We can't digest them. Our bodies do not make any chemicals that can break down the polymers of what gum is. So, no, we can't digest it, but it doesn't mean it stays in our bodies. As lumps of mushed up food are pushed through your digestive tract, your body breaks down much of it and takes out the nutrients it needs. When it's left over, including gum, you will typically just be pooped out. Does that mean it's safe to swallow your gum? Yes and no. Accidentally gulping down a piece shouldn't do you any harm in an adult's body, but swallowing lots of gum can cause blockages in the digestive tract, especially in children. This can lead to serious and painful constipation, sometimes requiring a doctor's help. So basically, that is pretty much true. But it doesn't stay in your stomach. So it's not. But who swallows gum? I mean, occasionally, like, you know, like as a kid, if you're running around, you got a piece of gum in your mouth. I've swallowed a piece of gum or a few when I was younger.
I've accidentally, and I've chewed gum once and have had to essentially cough / like try to choke it back up.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, I don't want gum.
I don't want gum in my digestive tract.
Right. So I just looked like I was having some sort of fit. So I was trying to get the gum out of my throat before I swallowed it.
That's fantastic. But, I mean, nobody swallows gum, right?
I swallow gum 9 out of 10 times, I would say. I don't chew often, but 9 out of 10 times I said I swallow. I swallowed on... Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Wow.
3:11. Friday morning, everybody.
This past Sunday, I engaged in the activity we're discussing.
Chewing gum.
And...
Yeah, and you swallowed it.
Yes, I swallowed.
There's no garbage cans?
We were at church, so...
You were at church?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
You didn't take it out and just stick it under the pew?
I'm pretty sure that's against the rules more so than... I walked in, I forgot I had it, so I just swallowed.
Oh, man. All right, well, 9 times out of 10.
9 times out of 10. Like I said, I don't chew gum often.
Right.
It's not something I do on a daily or weekly basis, maybe once every couple months, but
yeah.
I would say 9 out of 10 times.
Did you ever accidentally, like, you know, like if you got like a Jolly Rancher, did you ever accidentally swallow one of those whole?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's terrifying, isn't it?
A piece of candy was stuck in my throat once that. But I could still breathe, and it was fine, but it was just in there.
But you can feel it.
Right, and I was freaking out. And then I ate a banana, and it was fine. The banana had enough force.
The all-healing power of the banana,
I was
ladies
real
and gentlemen.
Freaked out. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, I'd be freaked out, too. I'm freaked out if I've ever, and I don't, I mean, again, I don't eat a lot of candy now, but when I was a kid, I did. And you'd eat the hard candy. And if you'd swallow it, I would freak out because I would think the same thing as the gum. I'm like, what's going to happen to it? It's you can digest that. So, all right. Well, that's like an old wives' tale. Do you have any other ones that Esmeralda? Do you remember some of your favorite old wives' tales?
I don't know if this is a old wives' tale, but my mom always tells me when you're sick to put vapor rub. On your feet.
On your feet. My mom says the same thing.
I have no idea how that's supposed to work.
Dan, you shook your head.
Everybody, when Emily has a cough, everybody's like, that's what you need to do.
And it works.
I don't know if it works, but it's what we do.
I don't understand. That's not in any of these articles, is it?
It is not. I had been told that, and it ties into the idea of... you know, reflexology and that mat we had last time with what Esmeralda.
Yeah, the foot thing. Yeah,
that your feet are a conduit for the rest of the body, and this even though they're tough because they're walked on, they're still very sensitive and have a lot of pores that allow the medicinal effect to go through coursing through the body easier than say another part of the body.
So yeah, and I've heard that too. My mom just said that the other night. We were coming back from that Split movie with the McAvoy. We were in the car, and she was talking about how one of her friends was sick, and my mom said, just go home, put Vicks VapoRub on your feet, put some socks on, go to bed. I'm like, what? What? What?
I call rubbish, but I just, how do your feet, I mean, come on.
No,
it can't be that.
Yeah,
absorbent.
I don't, but it's not like, but by the way, this is not just like one person says this. Evidently, all of our parents believe it. And I would imagine we're probably getting some texts right now of people going, yes, I put vapor rub on my feet and I feel better. It's just weird. So I've never done that. I've never put vapor rub on my feet. And it's the soles of your feet, right? It's the bottom of your feet, correct?
Yeah.
You're just not going to slather vapor rub all over your entire foot all the way up to the ankle?
I mean, from my mom was always that would cure. It was a cure-all.
Yeah.
You shove it in your ears.
Right.
A little bit around your nose.
Well, the nose thing, yes. And putting it on your chest, yes.
Which I don't think it's highly recommended to put around your nose or your ears for that matter. I don't think
well,
you're supposed to stick
I've
it in
put
there.
It around. I've put it around my nose in the past. Like if I'm really, really congested, my nose is stuffed. The Vapo rub on the chest absolutely works. That's a real thing.
Right. I think that's what they recommend.
Yeah. So, but out of the foot thing, yeah, all right. Well, that's a thing, Esmeralda. We should all do that. We should all do that one night. Just come in and just put a bunch of Vapo rub on our feet and see what happens during the show.
Well, I think you have to be sick. It's not just, hey,
right, I mean,
put this on. And
let's see what happens if we're not sick and we just put Vapo rub on our feet.
We become superhuman? Like, what do you?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be like Chronicle. We'll all have like suddenly superpowers.
I mean, in that same line, my mom always she gets mad if I go to bed or go outside with wet hair.
Ah, first one on the list, Esmeralda. Yeah. Here you go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go outside with wet hair. You will catch a cold.
Yeah. I always have to tell my mom, like, that's not how that works.
Okay. And you know what? Fact or fiction, Esmeralda? You ready? False.
Yeah. Okay. It's germs.
Right. We'll tell you why. We'll tell you why about it afterwards. But so there you go. That's the first one on the list, too. All right. We're talking about old wives' tales. What are some of the weirdest ones or your favorite ones? 312-981-7200. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200. Jeff requested Duran Duran. That's his second of the twofer, and that's Girls on Film. Hey, you know who loved Duran Duran?
Hey, listen.
He loved Duran Duran so much. And what's not to love? All right. 312-981-7200. Again, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in. Also, call us or text us with your old wives' tales that you've heard growing up that are either untrue or true. 312-981-7200. And if you slather Vicks VapoRub on your feet, let us know how that works out for you. So anyway, don't go outside with wet hair. You'll catch a cold, Esmeralda.
It was also don't go to bed with wet hair.
Yeah, I remember that one. Don't go to bed with wet hair, too. And what was the reasoning behind that? You'll get sick?
Yeah.
Because your hair is wet?
I guess. I don't. No idea.
It says, getting chilled does not cause a cold, at least not under laboratory conditions. In one study reported in the New England Journal of Science, two groups of people were exposed to viruses that caused the common cold. One group was exposed to the germs in a chilly 5 degrees Celsius room, the other in a balmy 30 degrees Celsius room. The result, both groups caught cold at the same rate. So they... So being cold doesn't exasperate the situation, basically. Well, who the hell is going to volunteer for that test? Yeah, shoot me up with some virus. Well, college students, probably. People with no money. Yeah, you can do some tests on me. Go ahead. All right, how about this old wives' tale, Esmeralda? Foods with mayonnaise spoil faster. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
False.
Hmm.
See, here's the thing, though. I don't care. I'm going to read the reason here, the explanation for why it's false. I still don't trust that at all. You know, you go to a picnic and you got some macaroni salad sitting out in the sun for 3 hours. No. No. Here's what it says. When you turn your leftover chicken into chicken salad, the mayonnaise actually helps prevent spoilage. Why? Because commercial mayonnaise is somewhat acidic. The upshot, when you're heading out for a picnic and setting out a buffet, you don't have to avoid mayonnaise. Just be conscious of keeping the food cold. When you know that there will be leftovers, cover the dish and get it into the refrigerator as quickly as possible.
Okay, now wait. The key there is most commercial mayonnaise. And like, yeah, for myself, I've been making my own.
Right. Are you adding lemon juice or anything to it?
Yeah, just lemon juice.
Right. Well, that's acidic.
Yeah, but mayo that you buy has a bunch of preservatives,
right,
and like other stuff, so that's probably...
I would imagine, though, Esmeralda...
They use citric acid, like they use pure stuff.
Yeah, but I would imagine even the stuff that you make, Esmeralda, would spoil as well.
No, right, but how they say that it helps.
Right.
I don't think some lemon juice is going to
yeah,
help
well,
it that much.
I still don't know. I wouldn't trust, you know, but of course, you know, it says... Make sure you're conscious of keeping the food cold. All right, well, yeah. But what... I mean, yeah. If you're outside, you know, don't... I don't know. If I'm outside and I'm at a picnic, I don't want mayonnaise... I don't want mayonnaise-based products that have been sitting on a picnic bench.
Well, no, you got to eat it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be there right when the food comes out.
Right.
And you eat it and then you're done.
Which is not the case if you make like a potato salad that has like a vinegar base.
Right. That, I thought like what would go bad is because there's egg.
Oh, of course. That's exactly what it is. Exactly and, what it is. Yeah. So, and the egg, by the way, is not cooked.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know. 847 area code says, I have Vicks on my feet right now. Listening to you guys and my feet have never smelled better. Just don't try walking because you'll break your neck.
Yeah, put socks on. Put socks on.
Come on now. You don't want to walk around your house barefoot with a bunch of Vicks VapoRub on the bottom of your feet. God forbid you didn't vacuum. Everything that's on the floor is going to be on the bottom of your foot.
And then
Don't walk near the litter box.
Is this texter using it as a deodorizer?
My feet have never smelled better. I guess that's what he said. It has nothing to do with the cold. I just want my feet to smell better. So I'm going to slather some Vicks VapoRub on them. All right, we got more old wives' tales coming in. 708 says, if you hold in your sneeze, you could blow out your eardrums.
Oh, I hold them all the time. And I've heard that. I heard, yeah, you can bust blood vessels in your eyeballs.
How about the one where it's like, you know, if you try to sneeze with your... Can we hear this one? And I don't know if this is true or not, but this was like another one of these old wives' tales or legends that you cannot physically sneeze with your eyes open. Like your eyes close. Every time you sneeze for like even a second, your eyes close.
I believe that.
And if you try, and then the other one, they would take it a step further and they would say, if you try to sneeze with your eyes open, your eyeballs will explode or like pop out of your head.
Don't little kids talk about if you sneeze, cough,
and fart at the same time,
you
die.
Right.
Right.
Just implode.
That's right. But I love that one, man. You see, if your eyeballs will explode. Like if you force your eyes open while you're sneezing, your eyeballs will explode like in the movie Scanners.
I mean, I have heard that your blood vessels can pop and it looks gnarly.
Yeah.
And your eyeballs just...
No, that's
crazy
not.
Looking.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, I've seen that. So, 312-981-7200. What are some of your favorite old wives' tales? We've got a bunch of them here. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Good morning, morning, morning.
Good morning.
The lemon juice—that's just to keep things from turning brown. Like if you cut up apples.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a little lemon juice in there.
Right.
And if you want to freeze bananas, you can do that too. Put lemon juice in, shake the bag up, and you can freeze bananas and they won't turn brown.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the lemon juice and the brats also use it on avocado as well.
Yeah.
And all that. I mean, yeah. But it also does provide acidity, though, Glenn. It's not just like in mayonnaise, it doesn't just like make sure it doesn't turn brown. It adds an acidic flavor to it, which makes the mayonnaise taste better.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you, Glenn. Take care.
Thank you.
All right,
have
bye.
A nice morning. Bye-bye.
Take care. There you go. All right. Lemon juice is also good for after you have minced or chopped up garlic. Lemon juice on your fingers and on your hands. We'll get rid of that garlicky smell. So. Hey, Esmeralda, are you caught up at all on Top Chef? Are you still behind?
I'm still very behind.
Oh, come on now.
I just watched like the third episode.
Come on.
I got things to do.
Thursday was Restaurant Wars, for God's sake, Esmeralda. Fantastic. All right. Yeah, Restaurant Wars was great, by the way. That's my favorite episode every season. The Restaurant Wars episode is the best. The best. Real good season, by the way, Esmeralda. I got my notes. My notes are very heavy right now. There's scribbles all.
So wait, where do they go?
Where do what go?
Your notes.
They're on the coffee table.
Right, but And that's it? They're there. And
I like to keep track.
End?
I like to keep. Yeah, when it's over, I'll throw it out. But I like to keep track of who wins every week.
Right.
Who gets immunity? I like to have that list.
Do you look back at the notes?
I do. I look back at the notes to you know, like each week I'll look and I'll go, okay, I like this person a lot, and here's what I liked about him last week, and here's what I, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a dork. I'm a massive, massive dork. So there you go. I am a Top Chef dork. All right. By the way, speaking of dorks, oh, wait a minute, Dan, you know what show starts tonight? Another one I take notes on?
Oh, Face Off.
Face Off starts tonight. So now I got to get my notepad ready for Face Off.
Don't get those mixed up.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you keep them in the same?
No, I keep them right next to each other.
Color-coded files.
Yeah, I have my Face Off file and my...
Do you get one of those notebooks? You can have different subjects.
Yeah, I got post-it notes stuck all over the apartment.
Does each contestant get their own color pen?
Do you then do a thing with string?
Yeah, and I tie it all together.
Wall?
I put it up on my wall.
Yeah.
Like an episode of Homeland.
Yes.
I put it up on the wall. All right, we got a break for the news. Vic's like, why don't you guys shut up? I got the news to do. We'll be right back.
True dreams of Wichita.
Is this our old friend Patrick? Man, that guy's got good taste in music, man. That's Patrick requested for Two for Tuesday. Soul Coughing, a phenomenal band. And that's True Dreams of Wichita. Great band, Soul Coughing. And Mike Doty, the lead singer of Soul Coughing, great solo career and wrote an amazing book called The Book of Drugs about his time with Soul Coughing, which was not a happy time. Pretty much hated all the guys in the band. And it was miserable, and he went through a horrible period of time with addiction to alcohol and drugs. And the book is called The Book of Drugs. It's a very inspiring piece of work, and so I love Soul Coughing. I've interviewed Doty a couple times, and I got to go backstage and meet him when he played at Space in Evanston. I got to hang out with him a little bit, and he really bristles when you mention Soul Coughing. It's just not pleasant memories. Is Marla, are you familiar with Soul Coughing at all?
Yeah, I remember that one hit they had.
Which?
Oh, the one hit.
I don't even think they had a hit.
Yeah, they did. They had one.
Yeah, the
it was big on the
something comes through, right?
Oh, something
about circles or
circles was it? Yeah,
oh, was it called Circles?
Yeah, that's from the one that you're talking about, Dan, is move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through.
Oh, they had two hits. Then.
Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through. Through. And the circles, I just seem to walk around in circles, walk around in circles. That was on the album follow-up to
So they had two hits.
Well, I didn't even think were they hits, really? No, not in your world, Esmeralda. They didn't even come close to number one.
Well, they were popular
here.
Yeah,
they were a heavy rotation on the Q101
yeah.
playlist.
You know what the name of the band means, right? You know what Soul Coughing is? Either you? No?
Nope.
I barely remember the song names.
No. I'm saying what the
I know,
euphemism is.
But she's saying if I can't remember the song names.
No, I just thought maybe you knew
no
the
clue.
Phrase. The phrase is it's a euphemism for vomiting.
No, that makes sense.
it's another reason why he didn't like the band very much. It wasn't really his idea to call him Soul Coughing. So, all right, we are talking about old wives' tales, fact or fiction. If you've got some favorites. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We'll get to those in a minute. How about this one? Feed a cold, starve a fever, Esmeralda. True or false?
Feed a cold?
Feed a cold, starve a fever.
False.
False is right. Fasting will weaken you just as you should be preserving your strength. Even if you don't feel like eating, at least have some chicken soup and toast or something. The old wives would approve.
I never get that. I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't matter what disease is roaming around.
You didn't have an appetite?
No, I'm always hungry.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Dan, what about you? You ever get periods of time when you don't have an appetite?
You know, it depends. It's either like I will go an extended period of time that I will not be hungry. I'll not be hungry, but then when the flips, you know, when the switch flips, yeah. I'm voracious.
Yeah. All right. All right. How about this one? If you overdo it, have a little hair of the dog. True or false, Esmeralda?
That is false.
Yes, it is. But I did it a lot. God, did I do it a lot? That was my form of getting over a hangover when I was drinking, which, of course, is, you know, that's, you know, when you're an alcoholic, that's basically what's, you know, what you do. The 16th century English dramatist John Heywood suggested that the best way to recover from a hangover was to have the hair of the dog that bit you, meaning another alcoholic drink. The old wives' tale and the expression is a spinoff from the misguided notion that you recover from a dog bite by plucking a hair from the dog and holding it to the wound. You remember that little piece of advice? You've never heard that one, Esmeralda?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where hair of the dog comes from. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Unfortunately, the advice doesn't work any better for hangovers as it does for dog bites. Drinking your way out of a hangover will only postpone your prolonged misery. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. You've never, Dan, did you ever hear that one about the hair, where the actual origin of hair of the dog? It's for real.
I had not heard the origin.
The dog bite, get the hair that the dog bit you and put it on the wound. That sounds like sound medical advice, doesn't it? Well, this is when they were putting leeches on people. You know what I mean? And you know what you need? You need a good bloodletting. You'll feel fine when you just throw some leeches on you and do a little bloodletting.
Although I remember watching some show, and I think it was like an Unsolved Mysteries type of thing.
Of course.
It might have been a current affair or something.
Uh-huh.
But they put leeches on someone, like they lost fingers or something like that, and they reattached fingers, and then they put the leeches on, and the leeches like made the nerves move again or something.
Yeah. I mean, there were, I guess, real reasons for leeches to be, you know, used in medical procedures. I just remember, this is my first thing that pops into my head when anybody ever said, when everybody ever says leeches, because, you know, the conversation I have at least 2-3 times a day, I have conversations about leeches. You know, it just comes up. But I always think of, did you guys see Speed 2?
No.
Do you see it, Dan?
I don't remember it.
Well, it's because it's a piece of crap. And this is, again, oh, Keanu Reeves is dumb. Nah, he didn't sign up for Speed 2. Sandra Bullock did. He didn't. You want to talk about dumb? And Jason Patrick was like, he took over for the Keanu role. The villain in it was Willem Dafoe. And Speed 2 ridiculously took place on a big boat because they're so fast. So it took place. It was such a terrible movie. One of the most disappointing, because I love Speed. I love, okay, well, we're going to get, that one's going to be out of context, and I'm going to sound like a drug dealer on Friday morning. I love the movie Speed. It's one of my favorite action movies of all time. And, like, when I heard that there was going to be a sequel, it was the same director, I was like, oh, awesome. I'm very excited. 25 minutes into the movie, I'm like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. But the reason I bring it up is Willem Dafoe is, like, the villain. I can't remember what his plot was. I don't know if he planted bombs all over the boat, or I can't remember what it was, but at one point he's in the cabin where he's staying on they're like on a yacht or boat or whatever, and he's staying in the cabin. He's in the bathroom in his cabin, he's in the bathtub, and he's got leeches all over his body because like he uses leeches to purify himself or something, like, if I remember correctly. Anybody remember that, Dan? You don't remember Willem Dafoe in the bathtub with leeches all over him?
Apparently I checked out by that point.
That's a real scene in Speed 2. That's how stupid that movie was. It was Willem Dafoe on a yacht in a bathtub covered in leeches. That's what they did with the sequel for Speed. I got an idea. Let's put Willem Dafoe in a bathtub on the yacht, cover him in leeches. It'll be awesome. It won't disappoint the people that like the first Speed at all. It's just like the first movie. Remember the scene where Jeff Daniels was on the couch covered in leeches? And everybody will love it. All right, we got a break. We got a break. We come back. We got a lot more old wives' tales to get through, and a ton of texts are coming in. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now, we got a break. We got weather. We got traffic. Get onto the bus. That's gonna take you back to Beelzebub. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Soul coughing. Bus to Beelzebub. Patrick on his 2 for Tuesday choices. 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. You can also use that phone number to call or text in your old wives' tales, which is what we're talking about, whether they're actually true or not. How about if you cross your eyes for too long, they will stick that way, Esmeralda?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah, it is?
I'm not going to try it. You go ahead.
I really don't think that that's true. If you cross your eyes, you know, they'll stay that way.
I mean, they don't say how long.
Yeah. I guess. Here's one, though. Carrots really do help your vision. You know, eat some carrots. Good for your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots do have a relationship with good eyesight, but it's not as simple as cramming yourself with as many as possible and waiting for 20/20 vision. Carrots include beta-carotene, which helps produce vitamin A, a key ingredient in healthy functioning eyes. But vitamin A is useful for maintaining eye health, avoid cataracts, and slightly improving night vision. Interestingly, this tale didn't exactly come from old wives at all. Scientific American reports that it was made up by the UK Ministry of Food during World War II to explain the highly successful night missions made by British pilots. It was actually thanks to some new technology the government didn't want to make public, so they told everybody that the pilots were eating carrots for the night missions. All right. How about this one? Ernie says watermelon seeds, if you swallow them, a watermelon will grow in your stomach. I remember hearing that one. That's just to discourage you from swallowing the seeds. I think they're like, yeah. This is a good one right here. Jay in Ohio. Nick, when I was a child, I was told don't go swimming for at least an hour after you eat because you could get cramps and drown. That was a big one when I was a kid. That was a big one. So did you guys hear that one? Don't swim for an hour after you eat?
I had my the Walls of Greens moment when I told my friends that I thought we should hold off on lunch because we couldn't go swimming, and they're like, no,
that's not a real thing.
And even if it was, that's for like 5-year-olds, and you're 28.
Oh, so you were like a full-fledged adult.
I was like literally like me beach, and it was like 28 years old, and they're like, hey, why don't we eat now? And I'm like, no, we can't go swimming if we eat now.
See, but I could believe that, especially if you eat too much.
Right, you know.
I mean, have you ever tried walking around when you've eaten so much food you can barely move?
But then what is it about, like, I mean, the logic here, I don't understand. What is it about the water that's suddenly going to make you cramp up?
Well, I would just think because you're doing so much activity.
The combination of the two would not be it could be don't eat and run.
So you cram, you're going to get cramps and die? Because you're gonna,
well, I don't think you
well,
die.
If you're swimming, you know, if you get a cramp and you're not touching the ground and you're far out,
and there's no one there to help you, and/or they're awful people and just make fun of you.
Mm. All right.
I'm with you, Dan.
No,
damn
I'm
straight.
No, I just don't think it's true.
Jillio, just let us drown. Thanks, Dick.
Hey, I swim like a rock. We'd all be dead. Food or no food, I swim like a rock. Let me tell you, I'm not an Aquaman. All right. 708 area code says, well, how about the old wives' tale that says your heart stops when you sneeze? Yeah, I remember hearing that one too. Trevor from Antioch says, supposedly one of my uncles sneezed with his eyes open and popped out his contacts. Come on, man. No. Several texts came in like for this one, right, Dan? Several.
Apparently, a lot of people say this is true.
708, in all seriousness, don't stifle a sneeze. My friend did. He hurt his throat and lungs so badly that he ended up in a hospital. Esmeralda.
Well, how do you stifle a sneeze?
Well, you say you try to stop them all the time.
Oh, no, I don't sneeze out.
What does that mean?
Well, I keep it in.
That's stifling a sneeze.
Oh, all right.
That's what that is.
I'd rather do that than spray everywhere.
Let me tell you something,
you
man.
You are so gross. You just seem, bleh! It's like, oh, God, come on.
I proudly sneeze. My brains come flying out through my nose every time I sneeze. I'm a single sneezer, though. Do you have groups of sneeze? Are you a doubler or a triple sneezer?
No, the only time I sneeze is if I'm getting sick. That's how I know I'm getting sick, because I'll sneeze more than once in a day. And I'm like, oh, something's going on.
You don't sneeze like if you're in a room that's dusty?
Not really.
All right.
Few and far between do I sneeze.
All right. Dan, what about you? Do you get, when you do sneeze, are they, you sneezed earlier this week and it was multiple.
Yep. My record is 11.
Oh my God.
When I go big.
When I was growing up, I was in my early 20s. I hung out with this guy. His name was Patrick. And he, every time he felt a sneeze coming on, he would dread it because he would, like you, Dan, like 10, 12 in a row. And it would literally get to the point where I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. Like, it just wouldn't stop. You'd, and then, and it would get ridiculous. I mean, it was just, like, by the 14th sneeze, I was doubled over. We would all be doubled over with laughter. And then you feel bad for the guy, because it's not, you know, he can't help it. And he would always say, you know, and then he'd finish his long round of sneezes. He'd, like, 14, 15 sneezes in a row. And then he's like, look, it's not like I'm trying to get everything out. With every sneeze, I'm trying to get it all out. There's just more. I'm a single sneezer. Sometimes I'll have multiples, but most of the time when I sneeze, it's once. By the way, I just said sometimes I have multiples. All right, you can mark that one down, too. Uh, 773 area code says, they say you can't lick your elbow. Yeah, well.
We tried this one night on the old Steve and Johnny show.
Did you?
Yep. I was able to do it, but I was taking yoga at the time. Everybody else failed miserably.
I'm sorry. Because you were taking yoga?
Yeah, because that was the old Sunday night, Monday morning rotation where Katie worked the rest of the week, and I just worked the one day you let into us.
Yeah.
And I worked at an office space, and they brought in a yoga teacher to teach us yoga after work every couple of days. So I was taking yoga twice a week.
And because of yoga,
I could do it.
You had the ability to lick your own elbow.
I could lick my own elbow, and I could put my hands in the prayer formation behind my back at one point.
Jeez.
Yeah.
These are very, very helpful skills.
Yeah.
There's a good
obviously, I'm still doing very well here on the overnights.
Those are skills that I want to develop through yoga, to put my hands behind my back and lick my elbow. I think that's what everybody who joins yoga, they go, you know, I've heard that I'll be able to lick my elbow in a month. Gene Simmons can probably lick his own elbow from across the room. 815 area code says, my wife was startled by a groundhog while pregnant. Her grandmother from Kentucky was afraid the baby would be born with claws. What? What? How is that a thing? And by the way, the baby is fine, they say. My grandmother from Kentucky thought the baby was going to be born with claws. Because my wife was startled by a groundhog. That's really one of the greatest things I've ever read in my life. All right. We got a break here. We got the news, and then we've got more old wives' tales. And before the end of the show, Dan's going to lick his elbow. All right, we'll take a break. And no one's future.
future to decide. You know I go back there tomorrow, but for the work.
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Morning. Two for Tuesday continues. Steve requested Joni Mitchell. That's Free Man in Paris on a Tuesday morning. All right. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio. I'm your overnight dude. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. All right. Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head in another unbelievable battle for pop-up video supremacy. And Skip Skipley will come out of retirement yet again. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. All right, we're talking about old wives' tales. What are some of your favorites? What are some of the more ridiculous ones? We are talking about old wives' tales, some of them that are false and some of them that are actually true. And we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. How about this one, Esmeralda? Chicken soup will cure your cold.
That's true.
It says, maybe not cure, but it will help. Scientists believe that a bowl of soup may reduce inflammation of the lungs. It is thought that chicken soup slows down the activity of white blood cells that can cause the inflammation. How about that? Dan, there's one of the cures that you won't partake in.
Yep. I'll just stick to the Vicks on my feet.
Speaking of that, 773 area code texts in. VapoRub contains a small amount of camphor, which is a decongestant, pain reliever, and works as a mild, full-body relaxant. You can apply it anywhere, but socks on your feet keep it in one area. Oh, okay. 708 area code says, when I was little, I remember my old-world Italian aunts doing this. Baking soda is a good treatment for acid reflux. The recommended dosage for adults was half a teaspoon dissolved into a 4-ounce glass of water. It's best to sip this drink slowly. So acid reflux, you should get some baking soda and throw it in some water. Somebody should have told Ashley Simpson that a few years ago when she was on Saturday Night Live. You guys remember that was her excuse? For when she got caught lip-syncing on SNL. You guys don't remember that?
Because she had acid reflux?
Yeah. She have you seen it, by the way? Have you seen?
Yeah.
First of all, at the end of the show, she blamed her band. When they were on stage at the end during the goodbyes, Jude Law was the host. And at the end, she blamed her band, which is just about as low as you can possibly get. Because it was just so blatantly obvious that it was a tape and that she was going to lip-sync it. So she blamed her band. And then there was a press release that came out the next day that said she was suffering from acid reflux. Acid reflux. That was her excuse.
That what made her dance around?
Yeah. I mean, just to blame your band. And, like, first of all, how does it, you know, whenever you watch these guys who are, like, in an Ashley Simpson band, and, you know, they're, like, They're pretending like they're really jamming. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's playing guitar. Yeah, man. I'm rocking out right now in Ashley Simpson's band. Yeah. You know, he got some crazed drummer acting like he's in Rush, you know, spinning his sticks. You're in Ashley Simpson's band. So you got that. You got to do that. You got to, you know, like, you go to, like, a musician party. Hey, man, what band you in?